Good morning, everyone. On this another day that our God has made, and we rejoice in him, and we are glad about the Lord and all that he is doing, has done, and will do. I am glad to see each one of you this morning. We thank God for bringing us together again to sit together at his feet in the name of Jesus to hear what thus saith the Lord. We have another ambitious lesson, a good food that God has prepared for us and given to us in Luke chapter 11. I was in a meeting yesterday. I was in several meetings yesterday, and in the life development teachers meeting, I mentioned to the teachers and assistants that our class, the Contemporary Bible class, would probably be completing Luke chapter 11 today. That's what I said. But I know now this will be at least two parts in Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 54. That is our passage that we are now in, Luke 11, verses 37 through 54, quite a lengthy passage. So we want to be in tune with the Spirit of God. I have been praying for you all week, thinking about you, preparing for you all week long. And I pray that you will continue to keep me in prayer as well. We thank God on this March 14th, 2021 day. I do have an announcement that I would like to make. This coming Friday, March the 19th, I will be hosting three sessions. The title of it is The Six Miracles of Calvary. And most of you probably received a flyer in the mail. If you did not receive one in the mail, it's possible because I do not have your mailing address. So if you would put your name and mailing address on the chat to me, that way I would have it. And also, your email address, because everyone in the class, I don't know everyone in the class, and I'm glad that there are people here that I do not know. That's a sign of growth. But anyway, the Six Miracles of Calvary will start this Friday from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. on Zoom. You use the same ID to get in and password that you used this morning. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. We know that passage that we're studying now in Luke 11, Jesus is on his way to Calvary. And in effect, we want to be on our way to Calvary with him. The six miracles of Calvary will take the time to pause and to ponder at Calvary. And when Jesus died, many things happened. At his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Everything about Jesus is glorious. Whether you're talking about his conception, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Whether you're talking about his birth, angels fill the sky. Whether you're talking about his baptism, heaven opened. Whether you're talking about his public ministry, he did miracles, turned water into wine. And everything about Jesus is glorious, including his death, burial, and resurrection. There will be six speakers. The flyer, I had it on screen share, but I did not know how to use that properly. But anyway, I want to announce that join us on Zoom. We do have at least two speakers that will bring in a topic, are with us in class this morning. So having said that, I hope to see you this Friday on Zoom at 6:30 p.m. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, we turn our eye upon you, upon Jesus, upon Calvary, Jesus on his way to Jerusalem to pay the price for sin on our behalf. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we look backwards today and say he did come, he did die, he was buried. Christ rose and risen from the dead with all power in his hands. We give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, exalted, ascended, given a name above every name. He is far above all. And now, Lord, we thank you for bringing us together again. It is good for us to be here. We thank you that you are in our midst. And we ask you now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit, to feed us and lead us and guide us, nourish us and strengthen us, fortify us and sharpen us all through your word. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, whatever they may be, and anything that would hinder us from learning from you. Dear Lord, we pray, forgive. We pray for one another, for all the needs of every person in this class, whether they are with us this morning or whether they could not be with us. We remember one another in prayer. And now, Lord, lead us and guide us in Luke chapter 11. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today, as I have said, good morning to those who have joined us. This morning, we will continue in Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 54. There are plenty of meal passages in the scriptures. There are plenty of dinner passages in the scripture. There are breakfasts in the scripture. Now, I hadn't thought about lunch, but I'm sure there's some lunches in the scripture as well. And here in Luke chapter 11, the scene is at a dinner. But we are going to find out, as far as we know, drama got started before the first bite was taken, before Jesus had taken a bite of the food, or any of the host or the guest, had taken a bite of any of the food, something happened. It is a passage of conflict. We know that because we are continuing in Luke chapter 11. Jesus had let us know in that transitional chapter, Luke chapter 9, that he would be rejected. Let's look at that passage again, Luke chapter 9, that verse. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9, verse 22. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. And it says, the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, must suffer. That is a must. Jesus must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So now we see Jesus has ended his public ministry and now he's on his way to Jerusalem. He tells us that in verse 51, Luke chapter 9, verse 51 says, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus on his way to Calvary. Well, we know that Jesus did die. We know that. We know he was buried and rose again. But now as we go through studying through the passage, we want to notice even more closely what happened along the way. On his way to Calvary, tell me, how did that come about? What happened that they, Jesus, would be crucified? Well, part of it is in Luke chapter 11, where now spiritual warfare is on the scene. Conflict is on the scene. The crowd is beginning to turn on Jesus. Satan is operating all throughout Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 14. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 14. And from Luke 11, 14, all the way through part of chapter 12, it is the devil who is manipulating, orchestrating in the background these three different scenes that we have seen. And so we're going to see now at this dinner, the devil once again using men. We'll see him using Pharisees, scribes, the lawyers, and as Jesus let us know, the elders. And so this passage of conflict, of spiritual warfare. As I said, this is a dinner passage. We know that because in verse 37, it says, and as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. So that's the introductory verses to what's going to happen. Now keep in mind, in this passage of conflict and spiritual warfare, and this is when you're studying the Bible, keep things in context. And the context is, it's a dinner. Jesus has been invited to a dinner, yes. But what is the context? The context is spiritual warfare. These same people, the Pharisee that asked him to dine with him, this same Pharisee and these same group of people are the same ones that call Jesus the devil. They are the same group of people that said in verse 15, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. This is the same group of people that said in verse 16, others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. They have said, Jesus, we want you to do more. The same group of people now, this one Pharisee rises on the scene and he asks Jesus to dine with him. It is, quote, a setup. It is a setup. It's not so much that the Pharisee really wanted Jesus to dine with him. We know that they are trying to find something to do what? Accuse Jesus. These are enemies of the Christ. They're trying to get Jesus. And so the intensity of the battle is becoming more and more. Spiritual conflict, spiritual warfare. So it's not just a dinner. Jesus is still in warfare. It is still Jesus and the devil working through these men at the dinner. And so now Jesus being rejected, because we're going to see he was rejected. Now we want to keep in mind, there are many. God is an awesome God. And awesome, you know, that word also translates to he is a terrible God. He is awesome. He is holy. He is many faceted. There are many, many manifestations of our God. And in presenting the word, we want to be balanced. We want to present the whole Bible. We want to tell, yes, God is love. He certainly is love. But the same God that is love is also a God who warns us, because that's what love does. Love warns us if we're in trouble, if we're headed the wrong way. The God of love will warn. And so even though this passage, and we're going to see this is in verse, starting at verse 39, this is Jesus is just, it is, you're going to meet up with six different woes, and judgments. And curses, as it were. But before the woes come on the scene, and even during the woes, Jesus is warning the Pharisees. He is reaching out in love to them, but he is also he's the God of love, but he's the God of warning. He is the God of judgment. He is the God of wrath. The God of love, and we have to come to God the way he has said to come to him, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. And anyone who rejects the Son of God, the wrath of God abides on them. That's a scripture verse. If anyone rejects the Son of God, the wrath of God abides upon him or her. And so we'll see in this passage, love, the love of God. Jesus goes to the dinner, already knowing the heart of man. Jesus goes to the dinner, already knowing, according to verse 17. Verse 17 says, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, Jesus already knew what was up. He already knew this is not just an innocent meal. This is not just an innocent dinner. Jesus was in the midst of warfare. But he goes to the dinner in spite of that. It's an opportunity for him to still reach out in love. It is an opportunity for him to still warn. It is an opportunity for him to say, take heed, because that's what he said in verse 35, Luke chapter 11, verse 35. First of all, he lets us know in verse 33 that he is the lit lamp. He is the light of the world. But if you reject Jesus, then you abide in darkness and become full of darkness. And so he's warning everyone in verse 35, take heed, be careful, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. And so we receive Jesus Christ and we want more and more of him. And so he warns them, he warns us today. Satan is dressed up. I'm setting the scene for this passage we're going to read in its entirety. Satan is behind the scenes. Now Satan has many disguises. He has many masks, many disguises. He comes as a roaring lion. I mentioned that on last week, how he comes with roaring, big and bad and bold and open, roaring lion. Everybody hears the lion roar. That's how he comes sometimes. And we see him like that when he says in verse 15, when they say in verse 15, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. That was Satan, the lion's roar. But the same devil also comes as an angel of light, dressed up in religious garments, dressed up with a lot of scripture, dressed up in morality, and it's good to be moral. We're supposed to be moral. But these are all coverings, can be coverings of the wicked one. Dressed up, carrying Bibles. Dressed up, Satan comes in many ways, even as an angel of light, pretending to be a true minister of God. That's what we're going to see at the dinner with the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers, the religious leaders, those who specialized in the law of God. They specialized in the word of God, but they were the chief enemies of Jesus, these religious people. And so that's a warning to us, because I would shudder to think that I would be a Pharisee back in that day. And you wouldn't want to be one either. We don't want to be one of the Pharisees, and we don't want to have that Pharisaical spirit. But we want to keep in mind, Satan now is coming dressed up in religious garments. Let's look at a scripture in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. And good morning to everyone once again. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Now, I'm going to be skipping around with different verses because of time, but I want you to see all these Satan at work here in religious ways. Verse 4. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus. Now see, that's the devil coming as a preacher, but he's preaching another Jesus. And see, Satan is very subtle, and that's why it's important for us to know our Bibles, for us to be in Bible study, for us to read the word. Not just to gain and acquire mental knowledge, but to know him, to really know and love Jesus. If our motivation is not to love God and to love Jesus, then we're off. We are off kilter. You can love reading the Bible and not love Jesus. You can love going to church and not love Jesus. You can love serving in the church and not love Jesus. And that's what the Pharisees were. They were all around the synagogue, all in the law, but they rejected the Christ and in the end killed him. And so we see Satan in Luke chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, and that's why we need to know, we want to see the true, real Jesus. Because some come preaching Jesus, but they preaching another Jesus. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, there it is, a different spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel. And so we need to know the true Holy Spirit, how the Spirit works. Well, ultimately, the Spirit of God's job is to point to Jesus Christ, not to point to Velma, not to point to anything that Velma is doing, but Velma is an instrument to lead others to Jesus. This Sunday school class is not about Velma acquiring disciples unto herself. No, it's about being used by God to lead you to love Jesus more. That's what it's all about. And if my motive is anything else, then I am off. My motive should always be to point others to the Christ, to teach others how to study for themselves. Not to depend on Velma or anybody else. Sit alone at Jesus's feet. And so here we see Satan dressed up in religious garment, 2 Corinthians 11, 4, preaching another Jesus, coming with a different spirit, and proclaiming a different gospel. And that's why you hear Velma over and over again, make sure you say Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again. You make sure you get the true gospel in, or else we're off. And so those are different masks that the devil uses. But let's keep going in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Verse 13 says, for such are false apostles. False apostles. And you know, we say the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Well, Satan has false one of all of those. There are false apostles. There are false pastors. There are false evangelists. There are false teachers. And so we want to know the truth. For such, I'm in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. See, that's the mask. That's the disguise. So Satan is coming counterfeiting the true God, the true spirit, but it's a counterfeit. And that's why it's important for us to really serve and love and know and walk in the light of the word. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So he has on a lot of different garments. The devil does. You remember when we studied in Luke, the man that had legions of demons, thousands of demons was in that man. And everybody knew that man was full of demons. Satan was like a roaring lion out in the open. Everybody knew this man had something wrong with him. And a lot of people knew he had demons. It was out in the open. That's one manifestation, but the same devil can come with a religious robe on, carrying a Bible, and be the same devil in a different disguise. And we see him like that in the garden, misquoting the word of God. We see the devil like that, tempting Jesus, misquoting the word of God. And so verse 14, I'm still in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself Well, he knows, well, I can't get them into alcohol. I can't get some of us into to all kinds of sins, but I can come in a religious way and fool a lot of people. And he does. He does fool a lot of people. One of the signs of the last days is be not deceived. There will be many false prophets. That is a sign of the last days. And so we need to know the truth. And then verse 14, let me read it again. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, that's that religious terminology, religious personality, religious mask and disguise, but behind the disguise is the devil himself, has changed himself into a minister of God. And so we don't want to just believe. You have to test the spirits and know the spirits. So let's go back to Luke chapter 11. Now, I said all of that to say that's the scene of what's going on in Luke chapter 11. And so when we begin to read some of these words of Jesus, because you might say, oh, Jesus, because it is a very harsh passage, but it's also a passage of love. It's a harsh passage, harsh, but it's a passage of love. God is love, but God warns. And God is a God of judgment. And if Jesus is rejected, that same God is a God of wrath. And we saw that also on last week in verse 31, which what last week we talked about where the people wanted a sign. They wanted Jesus to do more. And Jesus said in verse 29, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. So there's the wrath, there's the judgment, there's condemnation. And if you recall on last week, we noticed that this generation, talking about the contemporaries of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that were around when Jesus walked on this earth. But don't fool yourself. The same spirits are still around today, working through people. And so that's this passage that we're going to be looking at for this week, for the rest of the day, next Sunday, Lord willing, and maybe the next two Sundays, we'll see. So let's read the passage in its entirety. I will do the reading. Just follow along. I read from the New King James Version of the Bible, beginning at Luke chapter 11, verse 37. And as he spoke, now we have the scene, it's a warfare. Spiritual conflict passage. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? Now I need you, as we're reading this, and you'll have to do this during the week as well. Get into the passage. How do you think the Pharisees was feeling? Now Jesus is just getting started in verse 39. And Jesus says, now you Pharisees, you make the outside of the cup and the dish clean. Well, that sounded pretty good, but he kept going. And he said, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. How do you think they were feeling about that? Well, by the time all of this is over, you'll see how they felt in verse 53. And as he said these things, verse 53, As he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something that he might say that they might accuse him. So they were hot mad. They were seething. I mean, Jesus is pouring it out. Verse 39. Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather, here's grace, here's mercy, here's love reaching out. Even though he had told them that, here now he gives them an alternative. He says, but rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. That's him reaching out in mercy again. He's saying, yeah, keep tithing. Yeah, that's good to do. But make sure you keep justice and love God. Verse 43, woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. And he said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required, and notice these words now, of this generation. And that's what we saw last week, this generation. Verse 51, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple, yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered. Okay, so that's why I said, boy, before they, if one got a bite in his mouth, he choked it back up, because when Jesus got done talking, it wasn't about the dinner at all. Now, this is quite a bit of food that we put on our plate, meaning we've read quite a few verses here. So let's get the outline. You know how I say you put your food on the plate and then you section it off. You have the corn in one place and the potatoes in another place and the meat in another place and the green beans in another place. So it's sectioned off usually. So let's section off. Let's outline this passage because we need to get it in smaller bites. The first part of the passage is in verse 37 and 38. That would be the introduction to this passage. Jesus invited to a dinner. That's one of my titles. Jesus invited to a dinner. Or you could say the Pharisees' dinner. Or you could say a host offended. Because we're going to find out that a host was offended. So that's verse 37 and 38, the Pharisees' dinner. The next section is quite big. It's from verse 39 to verse 52. six woes will be pronounced. Six woes. So six times Jesus will say woe. In verse 42, it's the first woe. Verse 43 is the second woe. Verse 44 is the third woe. Verse 46 is the fourth woe. Verse 47, the fifth woe. And verse 52, the sixth woe. And we'll talk about that word woe in a minute. So six woes are pronounced. And right now, let me say, woe is our opposite, blessed. Either you blessed or it's woe. So six woes are pronounced. That's the next section. And then the closing section of this passage is in verses 53 and 54, the Pharisees' response, or, you know, the lawyers, the scribes, the Pharisees, their response. So that's the three sections of this passage, dinner invitation accepted, six woes pronounced, and then the Pharisees' response to Jesus. And the response is they rejected his warnings. They rejected the light. And so they're going to become even more full of darkness. Full of darkness. And in the end, Jesus will be crucified. And so let's look closer now. Let's back up and look closer at this passage. Now we can see, as I said, this is a harsh passage, but it's a passage of conflict. And God has every right. He is God. And you know, Jesus is God. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. As a matter of fact, in verse 39, notice the title now of the Lord Jesus Christ. The title is the Lord. He is the Lord. And as the Lord, he ultimately is the one who pronounces blessings or woes. So Jesus now as the Lord, he is the Lord because he's coming against Satan, working through men, spiritual warfare here, working through these men. Now let's look at verse 37 here. And as he spoke, Jesus was talking. We know that. As he spoke, a certain Pharisee, well, the Pharisee, we're just going to just simply say right now, we're going to say one who specialized, and those are the scribes as well, and the lawyers, specialized in the law. They were the spiritual leaders. They were the one that gave the religious knowledge to the people. They were the ones who would be quoting the law and walking around with the law. They are the ones who were specialists in the law of God and in the synagogue and all its rules and rituals. So this Pharisee asked Jesus to dine with him. That seems innocent enough, but not if you keep it in context. If it's in context, I wonder why the same man, the same ones who called him a devil, is now inviting him to dinner. So he asked him to dine with him. Well, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he went in and he sat down to eat. Jesus accepted the invitation, already knowing what they were thinking. But Jesus, keep in mind what verse 33 says. Look at 33. Verse 33 said, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it on in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. And so Jesus goes into this dinner as the light. He's going to shine light. It is a chance for them to receive the light of God. And you know, the best place for a light to shine is in darkness. And so Jesus, as the light, goes to this dinner. As the light, what you going to do with the light? Well, we're going to find out they rejected the light. And that was the warning of verse 34 through 36. But he went to the dinner as the light of the world, out of love, out of mercy, out of compassion, reaching out to them and telling them about themselves. Verse 37. So Jesus went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled. He gasped. He was shocked. Oh no, that Jesus had not first washed before dinner. And see, now the Pharisee is offended. Now this is a washing, not of hygiene. We're not talking about just wash your hands or just hygienic washing to eat a meal. This is ritualistic washing. All these ritual laws that the Pharisees had put on the law, the word of God. All these ritualistic, religious, a different gospel, a different word, adding on to the word with all these washings. And so it was like Jesus. Now think about this. This is important to meditate on the word of God. When it says they marveled that he had not first washed before dinner, don't you know Jesus already knew what they expected of him? Don't you know Jesus already knew all the rituals? Jesus never broke any laws. Jesus kept the law of God in its fullness. He fulfilled in full the law of God. But he did not keep in full all those traditions of men. And that's what they gasped at, that Jesus had not first washed before dinner. So it's like, now think about a warfare scene or spiritual warfare. It's like Jesus is punching the first punch. I might have said that wrong because I'm not a boxer. But Jesus is giving the first hit. You know, Jesus is controlling this. No man takes my life, Jesus said. I lay it down and I pick it up. And so it's as if Jesus say, let's get it on. And he says this, you know, because he knew they were going to be offended. He knew that. But using that, nevertheless, Jesus knowing they were going to be offended, it was an opportunity for him to shine the light on them, to show them in verse 39, you're so concerned about washing hands, the outside of the cup, making the dish clean, doing all the things that people can see. But your heart, that's what God is after, the heart. Your heart is full of greed. And so Jesus already knew what the response was going to be. But now shining the light, he exposes the heart, their heart. Now, verse 38, when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Now, if you recall, we've covered a lot in Luke, but let's go to another dinner in Luke chapter 8. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. Let's go back to Luke chapter 7 for a moment. It is 9:43. Luke chapter 7. Here's another dinner, Jesus with another Pharisee. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Now, these are contrasts, and during the week, you all, it's only so much I can say in 55 minutes. But during the week, do your own study, your own comparing, your own contrasting, your own meditating, your own prayers. But look at this dinner, not contrasting it. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. All right. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, what I wanted you to notice here, she did this washing here of the feet out of her love for him and out of her worship for him. But the point I'm bringing out now, she washed. There was a washing and she washed his feet. All right. Jesus at the Pharisee's house. But then we go on. Let's go over to verse 44. In verse 44, Luke chapter 7, verse 44. Now you have to read the rest of that. Let's go back. I'm sorry. Let's go back to verse 39. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." She is a sinner, not him. She is a sinner. Now let's go to verse 44. Verse 44, Luke 7. Then he, Jesus, turned to the woman and said to Simon, the Pharisee, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head." So you see, in this passage, see, they're accusing Jesus of not washing. But in Luke 7, Jesus, no water was offered to him. So Jesus did, no water was offered, but the woman washed his feet. Jesus was well aware of all their rituals of washing. And here in Luke chapter 7, the woman was used to wash because Simon, the one who invited him to the house, provided no water to wash his feet. In Luke chapter 11, let's go back to Luke chapter 11, they marveled, verse 38, Luke 11, 38. The Pharisee marveled, the Pharisee saw that Jesus had not washed, and he marveled. Well, it's not like the Pharisee provided what was needed for Jesus to be washed. And also, Jesus did not keep the rituals of man. But on the other hand, Jesus is God. Jesus, of course, as a Jew, knows all of those. He knows the law backwards and forth. He is the fulfillment of it. But he came to keep the law of God, and he is revealing and exposing the evil heart of these Pharisees, false apostles, false prophets, false ministers being used by the devil. Now, you'll have to meditate yourselves on the two dinners in Luke chapter 7 and Luke chapter 11. I did the best I could in the short time that I have, and there's more to it than I can say. Okay, let's keep going here in Luke chapter 11. Now, Jesus, knowing that the Pharisees are offended, and now verse 39. Now, notice Jesus is going to call these Pharisees all kinds of things. There is a compilation here of Jesus exposing the heart of the Pharisees, so concerned with outward ritual. So concerned with looking good in the sight of man. So concerned with making sure that they have a good reputation before people, but not before God. Let's look at some of the different words that Jesus used to describe these Pharisees. But keep in mind, he's still reaching out in love. He's warning them. He's warning them to receive him, to come to him. And if you don't, the end will be woe. Now, let me say a few words about woe real quick. Woe is opposite blessed. If you go back, let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Go back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And it says, "Then Jesus lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, 'Blessed are you poor.'" Verse 21, "Blessed." And then he goes on, "Blessed" again. Verse 22, "Blessed." But then you get to verse 24, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So woe is opposite blessed. You're either blessed by God or damned. And it all depends on what you do with Jesus, on your response to Jesus, on and not just saying he's a good man. You know, I'm back to Luke chapter 11 in verse 14 where it says they marveled. Well, you can marvel at Jesus and say he was a good man. He was a prophet. He said many good things and not be a child of God and not receive him as Lord and Savior. And blessed upon the response to Jesus is either woe, it's either blessed or woe. Ultimately, you're either blessed and received into God's heaven, or you are damned and condemned to hell forever. It all depends on what you do with Jesus. Now, Velma's not making this up, you all. Velma's not making this up. I'm not a false apostle or a prophet. So I'm speaking the truth, but you keep reading the Bible for yourself. Let's go back again in Luke. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we have 4 minutes. Luke chapter 2, verse 34. We've been to this verse several times in the past. Luke chapter 2, verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them. That's Joseph and Mary and Jesus, the babe. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child, Jesus, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. So notice there, Jesus, he is the dividing factor. He is the one you either fall or you rise, depending on your response to Jesus Christ. It's either fall or rise, and it's all based in Jesus. Okay, in our closing 3 minutes, let's go back to Luke chapter 11, and I want to point out some of this terminology Jesus said about the Pharisees. In verse 39, now you Pharisees, I'm going to talk fast so you all listen fast. Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. So what did Jesus call them there? Greedy. You all are greedy and you are wicked and you are a dirty dish. That's what he said. You are a dirty dish. And you think of a dirty dish. And if he keeps on being dirty, a lot of stuff comes up out of that dirt. You're a dirty dish, you're greedy, and you're wicked. Verse 40, foolish ones. So Jesus there calls them fools and foolish ones. And then we go down to verse 44. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And hypocrite means to wear a mask. And so he calls them hypocrites. You know they're not feeling good about this, you all. And then in verse 44. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves. You know that word like? There's that equal sign. You're like a grave. You're like a grave, which are not seen. No, you're covered up in a religious robe, but you are a grave. And that's what Jesus said. And you people walk over you because they don't know you're dead. So Jesus is exposing them. 2 minutes, okay? So he says graves and then dead men. And then we keep going to verse 46. Verse 46. And he said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear. And so we see them there as taskmasters, putting on people all these laws and all these rituals, but they don't do it themselves. Verse 47. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, grave diggers. That's what he calls them. You all are grave diggers and you are murderers. That's what it says. Your fathers killed them and they dig the graves. Verse 52, let's go on over to verse 52 and then we have to pray and go. Verse 52, he says, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away. There's the thief. That's what the thief comes to do, to steal, kill, destroy. You have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were coming to Jesus and those who were entering in, you hindered. That is a type of the devil. He hinders, he kills, he lies, he destroys. And so Jesus, out of love, lets them know, I am the light, come to me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Be with us this week and keep us in your care. Help us to walk in truth. Help us to love you and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Be with us, we pray, and order all our steps until we meet again. In Jesus' name, bless this word, Lord. Bless this taught word to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I hope to see you Friday at 6:30 here on Zoom for Six Miracles of Calvary. Amen. God bless you, everyone.
Beautiful lesson. Thank you so much.
Yeah, hard lesson.
Beautiful.
Rough lesson.
Praise God.
God's love that warns us.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Everyone have a blessed week.
You too.
Thank you.
We'll be in this passage next week, Lord willing.
Thank you, Ms. Bama.
Thank you. That was Sister Carter. I recognized her voice.
That's Connie.
Oh, I'm wrong. I'm human.
Maybe both of us. Okay, probably both of us.
I don't even know if Connie, if us, well, whoever I said is out here. God bless everyone.
Bless you.
Hope to see you Friday. Hope to see you Sunday.
All right. Have a great week.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye.